The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
Amen. Amen.
Great grace is upon you all too, I'm sure. This is Doubting Thomas Sunday. Doubting Thomas. You know, it's like debriefing after a big party. You go to this big party, or maybe you miss it. Everybody had a great time, but you weren't there. And so you say it was a drag. It wasn't so much fun, I'll bet. You're making all that up. And that's exactly what's happening with Thomas. Thomas was bothered by the fact that Jesus appeared to everybody but him. He's bummed about that. And Thomas makes a very crucial mistake. He makes a very critical mistake in a way. It's a mistake, though, that is something that we understand very well. Thomas confuses faith with believing. Knowing. And we do that all the time. And there's certainly a relationship between faith in the Greek. There's certainly a relationship between faith and knowledge and belief. But it's not an identical relationship. Seeing is not necessarily believing. Believing is it. Faithing is a better way to put it. It enables you to see things that you might not otherwise see. Thomas is confused about that. He doesn't take the word of his friends that Jesus has risen from the dead. He refuses to believe it. How would Jesus? Jesus certainly wouldn't have stood me up. You ever feel that way? Jesus certainly wouldn't have stood me up. I would have been among the first. But Jesus didn't operate according to Thomas's playbook, according to Thomas's plan. And so, Thomas is a little bit bent out of shape about the whole thing. I wonder if we might shut that off. So Thomas is a little bit shook up about that. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. This is what I want to say to him. Let me just sort of start over. The word religion means divine back. Are you aware of that? It means divine back. The Latin word means to reconnect. It means to rejoin. We talk about remembering here a lot. And when we use the word remember in the context of the liturgy and in the context of the church, what that means is to be reconnected. What religion is always about is reconnecting ourselves with God, with the divine, with the source of our life. It gives us a sense of who we are. It does that because it Faith enables us to live when life doesn't seem to have a lot of point and purpose. Now, in the lesson that Rita read for us from John, we heard them say something very interesting. And we don't know how novel it is because we've been raised subsequent to Christ's resurrection, subsequent to the rise of Christianity. But what John says is that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God.
That's interesting.
There would have been Jews in John's time who would have regarded themselves as perfectly righteous with respect to the law because they could fulfill all of the commandments and provisions of the law. And so they would have considered themselves righteous and not necessarily sinners. To sin and to be a sinner was a very technical thing. And so to be a sinner meant that you ran afoul of one of the commandments or the provisions of the law, but you didn't have to do that. If you ate the right way and you acted in the right way, in accordance with those laws and rules and regulations, you were fine with God. You were fine with your brothers and sisters. And it didn't matter how you treated them, as long as you were fulfilling the requirements of the law. But here's the problem with that. The law becomes more important than your brothers and your sisters. The law becomes more important than God. And so you actually begin to rely upon the law to keep you in a relationship with God completely. You rely upon the law. But if you're relying upon fulfilling the law, who are you really relying upon? Yourself. Right? And you can get really puffed up about that. Many of Jesus' parables are about being puffed up because you've kept the law. But if you're puffed up, you're putting yourself in place of God, and that's a problem. And so the way in which Jesus and Paul and the early Christians conceived of being with God was to completely rely on God. Completely rely on God. You don't have any righteousness in yourself. You fall short of the glory of God. The source of your righteousness is God. Grace comes before and grace comes after. And it's all grace. So how is it that we can tap in and reconnect and be righteous in God's eyes? If we can't do anything, it's by faith. When we have faith, we can be righteous. When we have faith in God, we have faith in God, then we can be sure that we're putting God in the right position and in the right place, and that we're not relying upon ourselves and upon our own powers and upon our own abilities. We're not going to be puffed up because we recognize that anything that we have and anything that we express and anything that we do ultimately owes to God. Now, throughout history, and it begins in actually, in the New Testament, there's always this conflict between faith and works, so-called. But the reality is, as it's rightly conceived, faith always involves works. Because faith is a virtue. So it's a way of being and doing. It tells you who you are, and it tells you what you ought to do. That's what faith is. And so if you have faith, you're going to react in the right way respect to your neighbor, and with respect to God. And so you will be able to remain in communion with God. Because faith is a matter of understanding the right order. But understanding here is a matter of going forward in the proper way. It's not a cognitive thing. It's not a matter of what you say. It's not a matter of what you think. It's a matter of what you do. And what we do as Christians is we put God first. What we do as Christians is to say, anything that good that comes from me goes to God. And that is what it means to have faith. Now, when Thomas is confronted with the claims of his friends, he doesn't buy it because he has a different idea about what faith involves. But for Thomas, faith involves some kind of assurance that this is the way things are. And it's an assurance that he has to have for himself. He depends and relies entirely upon himself, not upon his friends, not upon God. And so Thomas's doubt actually belies a lack of faith. But later, when the risen Lord appears to him, Thomas is able to right his ship. He's able to experience Christ because he has that faith, and because he continues to be present with the other apostles and his friends. And Jesus understands this about Thomas, and he appears to Thomas and to others. And Thomas makes that declaration, my God and my Lord, that declaration of the divinity of Jesus, the Christ, the risen Christ, one with God. Reunited, reconnected, remembered. And that is the life of faith, and that's the life that we're all called to. We're all called to that life. And after the resurrection, after that experience of last Sunday where we were all taken up in the spirit of the resurrection and the spirit of the resurrected Christ, and we realized that we were humanity 2.0, and we realized that now, because Christ was raised from the dead, we too would be raised from the dead. After that experience, there is a natural letdown, and there's a natural tendency for us to scratch our heads and say, wait a minute, did that really happen? Do I really believe that? I'm a human being of the 21st century. This is the 21st century. I'm a human being of the 21st century. Do I really believe that? And the right answer to that question is yes. But you know what's even more important than the right answer to that question? Is to go forward in that knowledge without even saying anything. Because you don't, it doesn't matter what you say. If you go forward in reliance upon that faith that tells you that I'm right with God because I know that God is above all things, above me,